Well, someone sent me an email this past week that had an unusual subject line. It said simply, paraprosdokians. It sounded to me a little bit like some kind of a Greek dessert or something that made me hungry. But when I read it, it explained that a paraprosdokian is a phrase in which the first part is maybe a familiar kind of a phrase, but then the second part is a little bit of a twist and not what you would expect. For instance, I never forget a face, but in your case, I'll make an exception. Or the early bird gets the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese. Well, then the one that caught my attention was the evening news is that which begins with good evening and then proceeds to tell you why it isn't. And it seems like that's why I don't watch the news very much, I guess, because if you look at the evening news, it does seem to be like just an elongated crime report. It tells us everything that is wrong with the world. And they keep doing this, and somehow we like it, because they keep doing it. We must somehow say that we like it, because they keep telling us everything that's bad and wrong with the world. There's a little bit of good mixed in there, but most of it seems like this person killed this person, and this person assaulted this person, and this person's going to jail, and it can all be very depressing if we just get our news from the evening television. But, you know, I got to thinking about, with all this evil in the world, it seems like they're always interviewing someone who wants justice. They love to go to the victim and say, what are you going to do? I'm like, I want justice. I want closure. I want to set things right. And so we spend a lot of time in the courts. It's amazing. We have courtroom TV just so we can watch the legal battles being played out. And of course, a lot of people have been glued to the TV watching legal battles lately. There are all kinds of things that we just love, this kind of fight for justice. And everyone wants their due. And I got to get what's mine. And by golly, I was wronged. And I'm a victim, and so we have got to set things right. It's kind of our modern mentality, especially in the United States. But is that really the example that God wants for us? You know, our first reading today from the Book of Wisdom is full of, well, wisdom. Who would have thought it? But it's got some good information for us, because it tells us a little bit about God. After all, if we're made in his image and likeness, if we're going to find out who we are, we need to know a little bit about God. And it's amazing, because of all people that would have a right for justice, we would think that would be the omnipotent, all-powerful God. After all, if he is wronged, he definitely deserves justice, because he's God. But yet, we read in the Book of Wisdom that God's might is the source of his justice. And yet, might is made perfect when his power is disbelieved and when he judges with clemency. Though you are a master of might, you judge with clemency and with much lenience, you govern us. For power, whenever you will, attends you. And yet you taught your people that those who are just must be kind. If you think about it, what right do we have to demand God's mercy? Why should God be lenient with us? After all, he's infinite, so even the smallest offense infinitely offends an infinite God. Even our smallest sin, God didn't even have to create us in the first place, and to think that we should so many times turn away from him, God would be fully just in just wiping us off the face of the earth. And I have to think that at times God has got to be tempted to do that. When he looks at all the things we're doing, doesn't God just think sometimes, that's it, I've had it, I'm done with these people? And we see in Scripture that, you know, that has happened. God has thought that. But for the most part, God shows his power in his leniency, in his mercy. It is precisely because God is all-powerful that he can be merciful. Think about that. God can never lose anything that he has. He has nothing to lose, so God does not have to be out to get justice. It doesn't cost God anything for him to be merciful, because he has got everything. He is God. And that means that if we are going to be most like God, we best image God when we too are merciful. Not when we're out to say, I'm going to get what's mine, because we can spend our whole life trying to chase after justice and get what's ours and trying to rid the world of evil. But we'll never be satisfied because ultimately this world is not all there is. God's great call to forgiveness is not only a call to be godlike, but it's the way to happiness in this world. If we were to just look at the evening news and say, ooh, there's so much wrong with the world, well, we will be perpetually upset and depressed. Or we can look at it and realize that everything that's wrong, all the problems with our lives, every time we see scandal, scandal in the world, scandal in the church, and we're tempted to just say, I want to get rid of it. God says, patience. There is another world. Your job is not to make this world perfect. Rather, we are to go through this world with our eyes fixed on the world to come, where there is justice, where everything is made right. That means in this life, we don't have to hold on to grudges and unforgiveness. You know, you see on TV where people are like, I've got to get closure. And they spend their whole life angry and mad at the world trying to get this mythical closure. God says simply let it go. Forgive. Let go. When someone owes you and you want to set it right and instead you say, I forgive you. Not only do you set that person free, but you set yourself free. You allow yourself then to live for another world. If you think about it, if there were no heaven, then whenever there was injustice in this world, the only possible course of action would be that we've got to fight. We've got to go to war because there is no other world. And so if we're going to get our due, we got to settle the score in this life. So we see that heaven, just the fact that it exists, is a great call to peace. We don't have to fight it out to the death in this world over every little thing because there's another world. We live our life with our hopes set on that world. And that's where Jesus reveals even more through the gospel today, the mercy of our Father, but also shows us how we should act. We have that beautiful parable of the weeds and the wheat. And I don't know about you, but a lot of times I think we read that and we're very quick to say, yeah, let's get rid of all those weeds, all those other people. Not me, of course, I'm wheat. But all those weeds, let's get rid of them. After all, they're creating scandal in the church and bad people in the world. Let's put them in prison and get rid of them. Get rid of the weeds. We're always pretty quick, I think, to put ourselves in the category of the wheat. But yet, if we really look at our lives, I think, at least if we're honest, there are some times when in many ways we kind of look a lot more like a weed, frankly. And if you look back at the course of the history of your life, have there not been times when maybe all of our lives have been lived not so much looking like wheat, but more like weeds? That's the whole point of the gospel. Jesus says, you know what? We can't tell the weeds from the wheat until the end, the harvest at the end. It would be a mistake then to judge too early. If you think of the history of the church, look at the great Saint Augustine. I mean, if you looked at St. Augustine in his early life, I mean, he was very much a weed. It would have been very easy to say, pluck him up. I mean, goodness gracious, he is living a life of heresy and all kinds of immodesty and having children with people he's not married to. Get rid of him. He's even mean to his mom, for heaven's sake. Augustine would have been gone. But then we would have missed one of the greatest saints in the church, a doctor of the church that is famous. Augustine turned out very much to be wheat and fruit abundantly that continues to give to this day. How many times have we been guilty maybe of looking at our neighbors and saying, oh, these weeds, if only we could get rid of the weeds. Have we ever looked at ourselves maybe even and said, gosh, where are the weeds in my life? You know, where do I need to start tending the garden of my heart a little bit better? The truth is, none of us are finished products. The fact that there is a heaven also points to the fact that God is patient with us. If we think our life maybe isn't going very well right now, maybe we think, I need to be holier. It's good. Do it. And if you're stuck in a rut, don't worry. God is not done with you yet. He's not done with any of us. So he asks us today to be patient. to realize that there's a heaven. We're on the way. We're not there yet. The harvest comes at the end of time. Don't be too quick to judge before the harvest, because some of those people, your brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe even you, maybe look a little bit like a weed from time to time. But in the end, we pray that by our fruit we will be known, and that indeed we will prove ourselves to be very fruitful wheat for God.